Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here of the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are the show that endeavors to free America. And really, we're working on the world, too, but we're doing it one enslaved mind at a time. We need your help. Join us in sharing what we do on our digital platforms. And we do appreciate you being here. We have a terrific guest for you today. His name is Dan Sue. He's a highly respected journalist that writes for the Epoch Times. I love that publication. Love it. It's one of my favorites. If you really want to know what's going on, this is the place to go. And we're going to be talking about Chinese unrest in America. Excuse me. Sorry. Chinese unrest in China and some of the implications that could happen economically and maybe even geopolitically with regard to the United States, because we don't live in a vacuum anymore. We're very much in a global community. And I'm highly distressed, as you know, about the treatment of the Chinese people, locking them in their homes and COVID. And I saw films yesterday on Fox News of people being forced to live and reside in near urinals and bathrooms. And it was so disgusting and so upsetting. And here to really kind of clarify the situation is Nan Su. And Nan, how long have you been writing for the Epoch Times?
Well, I start writing. It depends on which language you're talking about. I start as early as like 2001, write a Chinese language articles for Epoch Times, and then I start writing the English articles, reports since 2018.
Okay. Did you spend significant time in China?
Oh yes, I came to United States in 1989. Before that, I grew up in China. When I came to United States, I was 26 years old.
Okay. Well, your command of English is outstanding. And so English was your second language, is that correct?
That is
Okay.
correct.
Okay. Well, your publication, I have to tell you, people send me articles from your publication all the time. And I have to tell you, if I were to choose a publication out there that does the best job of covering today's critical issues, it's your publication. So I'm really looking forward to finding out what's going on in China. But before we go forward, I got to take care of a couple of business items here. Ladies and gentlemen, the show is brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Railroad strike looming. Diesel truckers tell me that they say, Dave, when it reaches $8 a gallon, we're done. We can't make profits. I'm concerned about the food availability going forward, and I think the only safe place that you can really depend on is what you store. And that's why I encourage you to go to My Patriot Supply, and that's at preparewithdave.com, and they've got a great special going on there right now, and we really encourage you to visit there. And also, too, I'm concerned about people in roving power blackouts that looks like it could be coming to New England, and there's talk of that now. And if the power stays off very long, where are you going to get your water? That's why you better have a good water filtration system. We've got one for you, waterwithdave.com. It's the Alexa Pure Pro water filter, and it's ranked number one. The research is right there, and they've got a great sale going on too. So the food, preparewithdave.com, the waterwithdave.com, and the rest of our sponsors are embedded in the show. So we have a clean shot with our guest, Nan Su, and we're going to be talking about China. So the unrest right now, let me see if I have this right. I'll let you mold and take my comment. My observations are this, is that China, I think, is overreacting to what they're calling pandemic coronavirus, and they're using it as an excuse to lock people down. And I'm wondering how much of that is really political versus medical. And the people say, we've had enough. And they're joining hands and they're just saying, we're not taking any more.
Well, that's pretty much correct, but it's more for the political purpose. What happened is in the last couple years during the pandemic, because China has been using this lockdown strategy. If you have like a couple cases in your community, they are locked the whole community. A few cases in the city, they are locked down the whole city. So overall, total cases, in total case infected in China, it's lower than the cases happening in the Western world. So what happened is in the last couple of years, the propaganda machine of the Chinese regime has been really operating, trying to use the comparison of the difference in the high cases and the low cases in China and high cases numbers in cases in Western world to to really promote the communist system, to say, hey, you guys looking at this comparison in case numbers, there's clearly an advantage of the communist system. So now, as the entire Western world eventually found a way to coexist with the COVID, and China still, they still continue its locking down, because now if they really opens up, what's going to happen? People will see, you eventually, you still have to go to the Western way. So that's kind of, they are put themselves at a corner right now, and especially in the last week, when China is a big soccer country, people watching soccer games, and when they're watching the world soccer games. And they see, hey, no one wear mask. It was like jaw-dropping to a lot of people in China. And so right now it's funny that when they're still broadcasting the soccer game, world soccer game, but they blur out all the
Oh,
audience from
jeez.
so the audience the people in China, they were not going to see the audience. They're only going to see the players.
Oh my gosh. That is the ultimate in control. One of the things I saw that was disturbing, and I want to give Apple all the negative credit they deserve, that the Chinese, to avoid detection of organization for protesting, they were using an offshoot of Apple technology that the Chinese government couldn't detect. And now, Apple, acting as an agent of the CCP, has shut down that access to the average person. You want to comment on that?
Apple. I read that part. Basically, Apple shut down some of the functions that the people can use to spread a protest message, which is really bad. I mean, I think the U.S. corporates, see, once they go to China to make investment, eventually they have to yield to the political pressure of Chinese regime. That's what's really going on. Overall, if you look back our China policy, I mean, that's what the result of our China policy since Henry Kissinger visited China almost 50 years ago. We have such a rosy dream on China that by making Chinese communist nation much richer, they're going to change. But it's a brutal failure of that policy. Now, in the last 20 years, ever since 2001, China joined WTO. From 2001 to 2021, China's economy grew tenfold. I mean, 10 times bigger. So 20 years ago, China's economy just equal to today's Russia. I mean, make no mistake, Russia, today's economy is less than one-tenth of China. So if you look at which one is much bigger threat, clearly it's China, not Russia. This is how, what's going to happen when you trying to make investment in a dictatorship country? Looking back 100 years history, I mean, United States had really had two different way of dealing with communist regime. One is the way that we deal with Soviet Union. Another different, totally different way is how we deal with China. I mean, we keep making the country richer and richer. Eventually, now it's the biggest threat in the history of mankind to humanity.
I fear the Chinese the most. And one of the things I fear, if we project that fear out to if we were ever to lose and become occupied with China, I don't think, from what I've read, they're interested in cohabitation and making America like an economic colony. I think they would be inclined to commit genocide. What do you think?
Well, that's how, whatever the ways they treat their own people, it will be the way they treat the society all around the world. I mean, just look at what's going on at Taiwan Strait. Just like 3 months ago, Beijing's authority already claimed the sovereign right of entire Taiwan Strait. Meaning, I mean, if U.S. naval ships want to, travel through Taiwan Strait, they need permission from Beijing. So they are quickly not, expand not only in its economical way, but also militarily to really threaten the peace and stability of entire Indo-Pacific region.
Yeah, and I think for that matter too, the world. I think the world is threatened. A lot of military people I talk to, though, don't believe that China can project military power on a world level yet. Do you agree with that, or are they ready to really start making conquests?
Well, see, they may not have that enough capacity to do that. But the problem is, if they invade Taiwan, what are we going to do? Think about this. A lot of people do not understand how important Taiwan is. See, if China controls Taiwan, it will, with the few islands already, man-made islands already built in the South China Sea, China will have total control of South China Sea with Taiwan, right? So now, once they have that, they will control the economic lifeline of Japan. That's very important. The biggest airline that of United States in the Indo-Pacific region, as well as the China will hold the upper hand when it comes to the influence to the Southeast Asian nations. So compare. This is what the front line is: the United States and China right now. It's trying to fight for to hold upper hand under influence to these countries and the Southeast Asian nations. That 11 nations right now is the biggest trading partner of China, superseding EU and United States. So it's Chinese officials openly talk about those nations as the backyard garden of China.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of pre-World War II Japan and the expansionism Japan went through to try to meet their industrialization goals. And I see China kind of in that same realm. I know there's a great deal of fear out of Vietnam about Chinese expansionism, and I hear that quite often. I want to go back to the protesters, though, for a minute. I'm gravely concerned, just from a humanitarian standpoint, what lies ahead for these poor people. Do you think we're going to see a Tiananmen Square? I know that the Chinese are moving tanks into the cities as we speak.
Yes, there's been report about the military movement, and also in the couple in the last couple of days, the Chinese authority has sent lots of security personnel as well as police officers to the street, and they will, if they see someone they think is suspicious, they will stop you, especially if you're a young guy. They will ask to check your cell phone. They will take your cell phone away. They will check and see if you're spreading any protest message, if you're receiving and those messages, who is sending the message to you. And if they think you're suspicious, they will take you to a police facility and asking you questions, question you, right? So you maybe end up behind the bars. That's number one. And number two, yesterday, Chinese regime's official mouthpiece, that's Xinhua News, sent published an article basically stated that there is an anti-government enemy force behind the protest, and the government is going to crack down those anti-government enemy force, and in order to keep the social order. So that is a dangerous sign that the regime is going to take a very hard stand against the protesters.
I see a parallel in this country, although on a smaller, little milder level, and that's the handling of the J6 prisoners that stormed the Capitol. And they should have been arrested for trespass and disorderly conduct. I don't disagree with that. But the some of the treatment, being held 18 months without a lawyer and you don't get charged and violates every precept of our Constitution on speedy trials. And I see a parallel here. I see Chinese type justice being administered by our DOJ and Merrick Garland.
Well, I think people shouldn't politicize those things. Wherever the violation they have, you just treat it based
Exactly.
on, yeah, what it is. You don't overly step on You don't want to. I mean, I remember in the past that if you're doing something violating the rules, then but because you are exercising your First Amendment right, you actually, they will treat you nicely. They will arrest you, but usually these people will be released very soon.
Yeah, this is the J6 handling is really disturbing, and when you're describing what happens, I'm going to go back to what I'm seeing in the videotapes on Fox News. So you'll see an occasional protester tackled by four officers of the law or army personnel, and they bind them and they take them off, and you say they end up behind bars. What awaits these people? What kind of incarceration will they face? Will it be slave labor or worse? What do you know?
Well, they could be sent to the re-education camp. Nowadays name the Chinese government named this like a re-education camp. It's just a labor camp, basically. They will force you to do political study, and then they will force you to a certain percentage of labor. You don't get paid, or you get a very, very nominal pay, minimum. So they are not blamed, saying they're using slave labor. And also, if they think they label you, if they really label you as a so-called anti-revolutionist, or they call you trying to they like a subversion of the government, then you could be sentenced to jail. The jail term really depends on what kind of sentence, right? I remember Tiananmen Square massacre. One of the guy sentenced to 21 years just because he joined a Tiananmen Square protest.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're seeing this kind of justice being applied to the West, which you just mentioned, the truckers' protest in Canada. Anyone who helped them, you gave $40, you gave them a pizza. If they caught you, you lost your bank account. And often you lost your job. So we're kind of seeing that justice being applied in so-called Western democracies now, too. How many people is it estimated, do you know, who are actively engaged in protests in China right now over this issue?
It's hard to estimate right now. We see tens of thousands of people take it to the street, but right now you can see it's the older age people. They are more like there to protest the zero COVID policy, while the younger people, especially the students from universities, they are there trying to protest for political rights. And there were people really speaking like a Communist Party to step down and Xi Jinping to step down. That's why they actually closing out all the major university right now and send the student home, because they kind of like the regime is worried that if all these young guys, you keep them together, they're talking to each other every day. They may have new ideas, how to make all different forms of a protest. That's what that's why they shut down all those colleges and universities.
Is there any threat to the Xi Jinping regime over these protests, or is he pretty far removed from the effects?
We don't know at this point. It's really depending on, there was a mix of different causes, people that driving people into this protest. Some of a big portion of the protesters, they're just there for a protest against the COVID, right? So if say the government release the zero COVID policy, maybe these people will stop protesting. But you know, there's another, clearly another group of people there for political rights. They won't stop regardless, right? They know the problem is the system. The problem is not the policy itself. So it just depends how this next step, the protest, is going to move, and how the next step, the regime is going to move, how they play out against each other.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, and it's no longer in the realm of conspiracy theory, but the World Economic Forum has had profound influence over Western countries by their Young Global Leaders Training Program. And the leader of that organization, Klaus Schwab, said last week that China is the model for the emerging global order. And I find this highly disturbing because I'm seeing repression, no civil liberties. You exist for the right of the state, or the will of the state and their leaders. And do you think China is ready to assume, and are they being pushed to being the new world policeman?
Well, I totally against the idea. I think I usually talk to people. I think China, it's you know, the Chinese Communist regime, it's the biggest threat ever in the entire history of mankind to humanity and peace. I often ask people to do five simple aspects of comparison before between the Chinese Communist regime today to any regime. I'm challenging anybody who listen to this. You pick up any regime, literally from the entire history of mankind. You pick up anyone to compare, to make a comparison between that regime you pick with Chinese Communist regime today. I propose five aspects of a simple comparison. You can come up more aspects if you want. The five aspects I usually propose is number one, the economic power. Number two, the military power. Number three, the possession of technology. Number four, the control of the total population under the regime. You know, China has 1.4 billion people. And then, you know, the history of killing its own people. I mean, Chinese Communist regime caused like more than 80 million people's of unnatural deaths after it took over control of China during the peacetime. Now, so if you do the five aspect of comparison, literally you will see that you know, there's no any other regime in the entire history of mankind will pose more threat to humanity and peace than the Chinese Communist regime today. Now imagine if you want this regime to be an example of the world. Oh boy, I wouldn't even, you know, try to imagine the lifestyle of our future generation, our children and grandchildren.
It is frightening indeed. So then I come back to the United States with the Chinese influence here. And, I live in Maricopa County, Arizona, the seat of political election unrest right now. And I have to tell you that as I've looked into this issue and I've studied it since 2020 election, that many of our leaders in Arizona, including the outgoing governor, Doug Ducey, they are owned by the Chinese government. Doug Ducey had his business, Stone Cold Creamery, revived in China. And he made this statement at the National Governors Association, NAN, 2017 in New Hampshire. He said to all the rest of the governors, "In Arizona, we love to trade with China." Okay, I don't have a problem with that. And then he said, "We have rare earth minerals they need for their military." I have a big problem with that. And so his decisions are pro-Chinese. And our state universities, we have three major state universities in Arizona. And as I looked into one of our county commissioners in Maricopa County, he has joined into an organization that has made them like sister allies of China, and they're pushing pro-Marxist education in these three universities. And so what I'm seeing here, you've got also too Mitch McConnell. It's well known he's a friend of China. He's soft on protecting Taiwan. He's soft on Korea and Japan. How is it that China is able to make these inroads with our political leaders that's leading us down the wrong path, including the Biden family?
Well, here is the problem, right? We trying to our past policy, China policy, all the way until January 2018, when President Trump started the trade war with China. You know, just before that, all the years of our China policy, ever since 1971, Henry Kissinger visited Beijing. See, all these years of China policy, it's really based on, you want to give the money to, you want to give your money, to make a Chinese communist regime become richer, and then they will change. I mean, to me, that's like a crazy. I mean, it's like how you deal with a drug cartel.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
what's the most that you don't give them money? I mean, you don't buy them to give up their drug business, right? So, but how effective that is, I think so far we see a brutal failure of that kind of a China policy. You only make a more threat to the lifestyle of future generation. I think all these people, once we invest more into China become more richer, the regime will be able to mobilize more resource to come back to the Western world to infiltrate the society here, and then they will be able to focus on, the peoples they choose, like big corporate leaders, like some of the politicians. They think these politicians, can be good, can be used by Chinese government as the useful idiot. You know, that's Lenin's word, right? Useful idiot to help China. They will, concentrate the money they have, the resource they have to spend on these people to change our China policy to manipulate our China policy and make the China policy to the direction that's that China can take advantage from.
I think that's a really good analysis. I mean, we're falling victims to our own greed, but I see a real pattern with China, though, as they externalize control over a country or strong influence. They've done the same thing in Australia that they're doing here in America, the exact same thing. And so when people in Australia send me emails about how their universities are pro-Chinese and they're teaching their kids Marxism is a good thing, I'm saying, well, this is exactly what we're seeing here. And so this is why I'm rooting for the people. Can the people rise up in sufficient numbers in China to make a difference and maybe force a regime change and some political reforms? Is that possible, or is that a pipe dream like Tiananmen Square was?
We don't know at this point. We are closely following the cases and see how, which direction it will go. But I think for the people living in the Western world, especially living in the United States, we should first examine ourselves, see what we can do to change and to make the threat go away. I think the first thing we should do is to stop the investment from going to China. To stop the investment coming from China and stop the U.S. investment from going to China. I mean, you don't re necessarily, if you don't want to come back for the corporates, if you don't want to come back to United States, you think it's too expensive here, that's fine. Just relocate your business and your investment out of China. You can go to a lot of other countries like India, like Thailand, like Malaysia, Indonesia, all those, those even Vietnam, right? So the problem is, you are, when you're trying to make an investment in China, think about this. You are making money by taking the risk of the lifestyle of your future generation, your children and grandchildren. Do you want them to become the slave of CCP in the future?
No, I think that's exactly right. The Biden administration's compromised by China. That's no secret. So it's not going to come from them. But if we had leadership in Washington that would put pressure on China because of their human rights violations, what would that look like? What could a president do to China to force them to reconsider their actions?
Well, I think that the current administration, one thing they can do is they can, start sanction the people who trying to persecute the people who protesting, right? You know, think about this. All these protesters in China, all they ask, all everything, single thing they ask, it's not more than what our founding father asked when they tried to establish this country. So we should stand for our values. You know, we can put out a sanction list of Chinese officials who are involved in the, you know, persecute protesters.
COVID, my estimation and many others, is no more of a threat to the general population. Of course, there's vulnerable populations because of comorbid conditions, but generally, it's not more of a threat than the flu now. So I'm looking at the Chinese government action in these lockdowns, which are brutal. They're, I mean, they're archaic, they're evil. What is the motive behind it? I can't believe it's medical.
Well, there are a few reasons. One reason I mentioned earlier is just for their propaganda, right? They actually use the comparison of the total number of cases to between China and the Western world trying to promote the communist system. That's number one reason. Another reason was the power transfer. You know, it took place just last month, right? Xi Jinping now it's in his third term, but you know, in the last couple of years, there was a lot of opponents against the Xi Jinping for his, you know, continue his power into the third term. So you know, so people try to criticize. One thing they criticize him is that his zero COVID policy. That's his signature. So he's kind of like making him worry if he stopped the policy, then you know, the backlash will actually create more resistance for his continuation into the third term. Now, however, you know, as the party already finished the power transfer last month, you know, Xi Jinping currently is in his third term. But however, from you know, the completion of 20th CCP Congress last month to the March of next year, this is still considered the power transfer period because People's Congress in China, the rubber stamp organization, it's going to hold its annual meeting next year. Usually, that will decide a bunch of government leaders' position, like a prime minister, those things. You know, though this is still in the, they're still in the process of power transfer. So that it's the period Xi Jinping and his ally inside the United inside the CCP. They are watching out for anybody, you know, trying to resist their continuation into the future control of CCP. So that's the second reason. And the third reason is they really brainwash the people and all different levels of government officials in the last few years of a pandemic. They really trying to use this lockdown strategy to control the total case. Right now, the total case in China, you know, you're thinking like 1.4 billion people, they have 40,000 cases. That's not a big deal to us, but to them, this is really a scary number. So people are scared over there.
Yeah, I like your first two arguments, though, and I kind of bootstrap that into if I can lock someone into their working facility or in their home. They don't have contact with each other where dangerous ideas can get shared, and people will be forced to basically go about their lives, do what we tell them to do, and they won't be able to rise up. Lockdown people aren't free to commingle and plan against the government.
That's one important factor, no doubt, but that's just not sustainable. That's the problem. The only problem is out of reality. It's just not sustainable. So they want a certain way to get out of this while saving their own face. I think
Yeah,
that's what it
you're
is.
right.
But the people can wait.
Interesting, because appearance is everything to the CCP, the appearance of power and legitimacy. Yeah. I just wonder what poses the greatest threat? What's the, ask the question this way, what's the greatest benefit to the CCP locking people in their homes, as they did when the pandemic first started, or locking people in their place of employment so they can keep their economy going. It seems to me this latter has generated a stronger response from the people because they're separated from their families.
That's right. I mean, the resistance is growing only stronger and stronger to this zero COVID policy. You can see that. And actually, in the last couple months, from the end of September to just a couple weeks ago, the official media of all the state-owned media already kind of started a discussion of how to lower down this kind of an overreaction to COVID. They already started. They kind of start loosening up because you see that the Xi Jinping already continue his power into the third term. That part is done. So basically, all the state media already start discussion about that. I think I think they absolutely know that's just not sustainable, and that's just out of reality. They can continue this kind of a policy, but however, they need to find a way to get out of this while saving their face and their image of leadership.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I want to take you to the subject of forced vaccinations. Can you talk about the status of that in China?
Well, you don't have a choice.
Okay.
Well, think about this. Think about this. You don't even have a choice not to do the COVID test. I mean, most of the places you have to do it like 3 or 4 times a week, and in some of the regions, you have to basically do that COVID test every day. I mean, literally every day. If you don't do it, because they have it's everything is a digital control now. Your facial rec they have facial recognition technique to recognize your face and connect it to your ID, connecting to your health code, very importantly, connecting to your cell phone and bank account. So they know exactly each penny, how you spend each penny of your money, and they know exactly where you are, and more importantly, who you are with, because everyone has cell phone. When two persons come together, they know exactly what the time that you're coming together. Now, what happened is, once if you do a COVID test, and they see they if you are testing positive, then your health code will immediately turn red. Red, yellow, and green are three levels, right? So once you turn red, their computer program will immediately, find out who you are with in the last 24, 48
Oh my
hours. And
gosh.
immediately, all these people that you in contact with in the last couple of days, their health code will turn yellow. So there are cases that there are reports like the people like they're shopping, they go out to shopping, and then in the middle of the shopping, then their health code turn the color, and then they trying to enter certain areas, they check their checking points, and then they see their health code in a different color, they will take them away, and then there are people going to airport to travel, then at the entrance when they check their health code, all of a sudden it turned the color, and because someone they're in contact with in the last couple of days because their health code changed the color. So all these things really basically means immediate quarantine. These people are immediately taken away to a quarantine facility. This is really bad, and then there was a really bad story during May, April, and March of this year. Shanghai, they quarantined the biggest city that's in Asia for like 3 months. I remember there was a horrible story. There was a wholesale business building. Basically, it's a facility that there was a bunch of wholesale business renting the office from that building. Now, because there was a couple guys testing positive in their building, they locked down the whole building and have all the people stay in their business, in their office. in their business office, not home, but office for 2 weeks. You have to eat and sleep in your office for 2 weeks. And then there was another horrible story was, there was a construction site in Shanghai. There was a crew of 20 or 30 construction workers working at a construction site. One guy's health code turned red, and they locked these people at a construction site for 2 weeks and quarantined them just at a construction site. So just imagine how harsh this kind of a zero COVID policy can make people's life to become.
In that office building in that construction site, I can't imagine there's much food storage on hand. What did the people do to survive?
Oh, they will allow you to make a phone call, and you can make a phone call to order the food. And that's how this lockdown has been going, how they handle this. So they will have you lock down in your own home. You call, and then in each community, there will be a centrally located location, and all the groceries will be delivered to that location. Then you can send one person as a representative or your family to go get it. In the most restrictive period of quarantine and lockdown, they will give you tickets. I mean, each family will be given several tickets. Means the 5 tickets means 5 times a week, or maybe 2 tickets means two times a week. Then you can have the ticket and leave your home to go to the location to pick up your food or grocery.
Well, we tried the same thing here in many of our democratic states. Very similar concepts in the early days of the lockdowns. I remember reading stories about guys across the street from his apartment building with his son, no one there, and they're shooting baskets, and they both got arrested. And I mean, they weren't spreading anything. And that's what this reminds me of, how dangerously close we were to that. Biden, and I'm sure you know this. Even though he was struck down by the Supreme Court from requiring mandatory vaccinations outside government employees, he now has signed a declaration of the G20 saying you can't travel internationally to go anywhere unless you've had your vaccinations and you can prove it. And so basically, this ties us into a vaccine passport situation. Is this a move, do you think, towards CCP crackdown sideways in America? In other words, the Supreme Court said you can't do this, but here's a way that he's doing it, which I think is illegal. Do you see Biden trying to reinstitute control in this country in the same manner?
Well, I think that whatever the U.S. government does here and outside of China, there's no comparison to whatever it's done by Chinese Communist regime. They are doing it's always like 10 times worse than you can
Yeah,
imagine.
I get it. I get it. Evil to the 10th power.
Our government doing here in the United States, definitely. People can debate about. I think sooner or later people will bring this to the court, and I think then it will be decide. It will be up to our court to make interpretation and decide if it's wrong or if it's right to do that.
Yeah, it's frightening. What would have to happen in China? Because I don't see these protests resulting in a regime change. Is Xi Jinping going to rule for life? Are there any threats to his regime? Are there more moderates that would oppose him within the CCP? How do you see that?
Oh, I think Xi Jinping is on his way to become next Chairman Mao. And so one of the things the protest really put out is we don't want the Cultural Revolution, and that's under Chairman Mao, right? We want the reform, meaning political reform of the Communist Party. So that's one thing they really the protest fight for. They don't want China to go back to the era of Cultural Revolution. That's between 1966 to 76. I think I don't. I'm not seeing that Xi Jinping is going moving forward to any kind of a political reform, at least for now. And he's clearly moving back to the Chairman Mao's era. Now, Here is the issue, right? A lot of people look at China. China, it's a country with a long history of civilization. Now, if you look at the current leaders from the top leadership circle, that's Xi Jinping, right? They are at the age of 70, right? If you look back during the Cultural Revolution era between 66 and 76, these people is like a 10 years old boy or, teenagers. So this is the people that grew up with all the traditional culture being destroyed, totally destroyed, gone. So this is the people are really without any moral, ethical values. So, and that's why, you see, if you go to China, who is deciding the standard, measuring what's right, what's wrong, what's good, and what's bad? That's Chinese government. Chinese government, it's the standard. There's no standard. They were always right. When was the last time you heard that they made something that they did
No,
wrong?
never,
Never.
never, no.
Right? So that's the problem. That's why we see the entire country, every level down from the top leadership, all these government officials, they all grew up in the society without culture. It's the only thing left is the communist culture. So that's what's really dangerous, because in that kind of a culture background, their mentality, it's all about themselves. There was no any moral ethical standard above the government.
My fear for the people who are protesting and their family members who may or may not be protesting is that Xi Jinping may be, as you said, he may become Chairman Mao. Is he capable of the extreme brutality and genocidal behavior of Chairman Mao?
Well, genocide is taking place in Xinjiang areas to Uyghurs, right? It's been
That's true.
happening. Yeah, and now here during last month during the 20th CCP Congress, Xi Jinping handpicked the other six members of the Standing Committee of a Political Bureau. That's really, that they have like 24 members of Political Bureau, and within the 24 members, there are seven Standing Committee members. That's really the top leadership circle. Now, that seven member, besides Xi Jinping himself, all six others are handpicked by him. So clearly, he has a very tight control of the Communist Party leadership right now. All the everyone else besides him inside the leadership circle were handpicked by him. So he absolutely have no problem to move on, continue his control of the Communist Party until I don't know who knows when he wants to retire, or even he will ever retire.
Yeah, you just have to wonder how many millions would he be willing to kill. The Uyghurs are an isolated population. What's happening to them is horrible and reprehensible, but it's not widespread with the Uyghurs. It's contained to incarcerations and what they're doing. I'm talking about the general population where Mao would exterminate entire villages. Do you think that these kind of uprisings could lead to this kind of reprisal, and is it possible?
Well, this right now, this is what's happening, right? You can see, I mean, this widespread protests actually started from the Xinjiang region, from Urumqi. That's the capital city of Xinjiang autonomous region where Uyghur live. But however, the fire that took place on November 24th, that start from the high-rise building, apartment building. Fire start from the 17th floor, went all the way up to 21st floor. And the official report first released saying, oh, 10 people died, 18 injured. But quickly there were people. This is not a Uyghur people actually. This is the Han people. The majority race of China. So they start talking about, hey, there's a lot more people die. Some say 34, some say 44, and there's like a close to 300 people injured. And the only reason, so much damage is done is just because they actually because of zero COVID policy, they lock down the fire escape exit.
Oh,
They really lock it up.
gosh. No, I heard that too. What is it about the Uyghurs that makes them such a threat that they have to have this kind of treatment that they're getting from the government?
Well, there's two reasons, there's two reasons for the persecution against the Uyghurs really up to this level of genocide. So number one, it's a persecution of a religious freedom. I mean, they are not doing only to Uyghurs. They're doing to Uyghurs, Tibetans, underground church, Christian members, and the Falun Gong. Pretty much every religious group are under the suppression ever since 1949, the communists took over control of China. Now, another reason the Uyghurs are persecuting to such a level was, I mean, back in 2001, I believe when the U.S. government, George W. Bush, started the anti-terrorism war. I mean, I wouldn't call it stupid, but it is stupid. They asked China for collaboration. So immediately, the Chinese regime come up with a story. I mean, all these Uyghurs are terrorist group. So they are treated, like terrorists that no one care about anymore. Until, just a few years ago, and all of a sudden, because the reporting from the media, they realized there's been a genocide going on over there. So that's how you see. You can try to have these rosy pictures of making collaborations with Chinese government will be good for humanity, good for the future of mankind. No, they take it literally wherever you want them to help. It's like you put a handle into their hands. They will use it for something else.
It's frightening because they're a threat to world peace, they're a threat to their own domestic tranquility. And what percentage of the population makes up the elite of China who's benefiting from this totalitarianism?
Well, the Communist Party members, it's literally, I would say, less than 10% of the population, maybe 7 or 8%. They have like about 90 million Communist Party members out of a 1.4 billion population. Those are the pretty loyal group to the Communist Party. Now the main problem is the propaganda, the brainwash. Now, see, we people in the Western world, we saw China change. You go to China, superficially you look at all these skyscrapers building every day that you see. Oh yeah, it's a capitalist market. The economy is good. I think, people will start thinking, oh, the Western world is changing China. But that's wrong, because only if you live in China, you will realize that, every day of the 365 days a year, every day, day in, day out, people, ever since their kindergarten year, they will listen to the brainwash. The Communist Party's leadership is the only reason for all these economical miracles take place. So the Communist Party is there, brainwash people, so they take the credit for all the economic development. Besides, we are here in the Western world seeing our industry, not just job, but our entire industry, technology, investment, consumer market, all go to China. That help the China's economic growth. But people living over there, they're brainwashed. They think it's because the leadership of Communist Party. So I mean, if the Communist Party leadership, result all these economic miracles, why change?
Yeah, that's true. I agree. They have no motivation to change, and I don't think enough pressure is going to be able to be put on them to change. But I can't imagine though, if I walk through the streets of a major Chinese city and I could get the people to talk to me honestly, I can't believe they'd speak with praise towards their government and happiness with that part of their life. They have to find
Not right
happiness
now,
in their
because
personal
people
life.
are angry against the policy. See, this is the key, right? See, how many people in the protest will eventually realize the problem is Communist Party, not the policy itself,
Exactly.
right? So once people realize it's not the policy itself, it's the Communist Party that caused all the trouble. Then, I think then by that moment, if majority of people realize that, then the protests will go to the right direction. Right now, it's still we don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and I pray for the safety of these people. It's just absolutely horrendous what they face, given the history. We have about 30 seconds left. Can you tell people how to follow your good work, Nan?
Well, just go to epochtimes.com, or if you want to subscribe our publication, you can go to I Read Epoch. That's EPOCH, I Read Epoch.com. You're going to get the subscription, or you just, there are, by the way, there is a movie we just made and published. It's called The Final War. The Final War. Just type it up, Google The Final War and The Epoch Times, you're going to see that movie. It's a great movie, a lot of information provided.
Okay, well, your publication's tremendous. This has been a very fact-filled hour of information inside China that a lot of our people don't get here in the American public, because we're not looking in that direction except for the superficial. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge. Best of luck to you in the future. Best of luck to our Chinese friends who are fighting for freedom. And thanks so much, Nan, for coming on.
Thank you, Dave, for having me
My
today.
pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.